Important practical lessons. It is not merely as a beautiful theory, a mere dogma, that we should consider Christ as God and Creator. Every doctrine of the Bible is for our practical benefit and should be studied for that purpose. Let us first see what relation this doctrine sustains to the central commandment of the law of God. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, we find these words closing the record of creation. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. The Jewish translation renders the text more literally thus. Thus were finished the heavens and the earth, and all their host, and God had finished on the seventh day his work which he had made, etc. This is the same that we find in the fourth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. In this we find what is most natural, that the same being who created rested. He who worked 6 days in creating the earth rested on the seventh day and blessed and sanctified it. But we have already learned that God the Father created the worlds by his Son, Jesus Christ, and that Christ created everything that has an existence. Therefore, the conclusion is inevitable that Christ rested on that first seventh day of the close of the 6 days of creation, and that he blessed and sanctified it. Thus, the seventh day, the Sabbath, is most emphatically the Lord's Day. When Jesus said to the carping Pharisees, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day," he declared his lordship of the identical day which they had so scrupulously observed in form. And he did this in words which show that he regarded it as his badge of authority, as demonstrating the fact that he was greater than the temple. Thus the seventh day is the divinely appointed memorial of creation. It is the most honored of all days, since its especial mission is to bring to mind the creative power of God, which is the one proof to man of his divinity. And so when Christ said that the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day, he claimed a high distinction, nothing less than being the Creator, of whose divinity that day stands as a memorial. This is the import of Ezekiel 20, verse 12. "Moreover also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them." That is, knowing that our sanctification is the will of God, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, and chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, we learn by the means of the Sabbath properly used what the power of God is that is exerted for our sanctification. The same power that was put forth to create the worlds is put forth for the sanctification of those who yield themselves to the will of God. Surely this thought, when fully grasped, must bring joy and comfort in God to the earnest soul. In the light of this, we can appreciate the force of Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." That is, if the Sabbath is kept according to God's plan, as a memorial of his creative power, as bringing to mind the divine power that is put forth for the salvation of his people, the soul, triumphing in the work of his hands, must delight itself in the Lord. And so the Sabbath is the grand fulcrum for the lever of faith, which lifts the soul to the heights of God's throne, to hold communion with him. To put the matter in few words, it may be stated thus: the eternal power and Godhead of the Lord are revealed in creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It is the ability to create that measures the power of God. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Therefore the gospel simply reveals to us the power which was used to bring the worlds into existence, now exerted for the salvation of men. It is the same power in each case. In the light of this great truth, there is no room for the controversy about redemption being greater than creation, because redemption is creation. See 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. The power of redemption is the power of creation. The power of God unto salvation is the power which can take human nothingness and make of it that which shall be throughout eternal ages to the praise of the glory of the grace of God. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19.